Welcome to the Ages of Rock podcast with your hosts, Bill Algy, Dennis Talbot, and Alan Tate. We are three guys who have one thing in common, a love of rock and roll. Our goal is to talk about all things rock. We hope you find this show intriguing, funny, and occasionally highly opinionated. Enjoy.
Hey, folks, welcome to the latest edition of the Ages of Rock podcast. This is episode 223. We are joined tonight with one of our friends. We actually have friends, Peter Cicery.
I am your friend.
I know he is.
I think more of us have friends than others.
That's true. But, we picked him up one time in Nashville, and he's kind of followed us around.
Whoa.
No, we ran across him in Nashville. Oh, no, we didn't pick him. We didn't pick him up. I'll let him tell the story.
Actually, I think kind of. Sort
those
of.
Were dark days in my life.
But anyway, we're continuing our thing that we did last week. Our 1980 albums, our 40th anniversaries, and we told Peter, "Hey, come on and do this, and then pick your album." So he picked AC/DC's "Back in Black." What a terrible pick. But anyway,
yeah.
A little album.
And it was funny because what's funny is when you said that you were going to get Peter on the show,
right?
I turned around and looked at Laura and I said, he's going to pick Back in Black.
And I'm texting the entire time going, please God, let it be something. It would be. I think I did. Did I not say I think it'd be cool if it was AC/DC?
Yeah, you did.
So yeah.
How do you not pick it?
And I'm like.
So anyway, that's what we're going to be discussing here in a little bit. But before then, guess what I have this week?
COVID? More than you had last week.
Hopefully not COVID-19.
No, I haven't got that. I haven't got any new vinyl this week. It's been weird. I was off all week, and I ordered something, and it finally came in. Actually, I got off that one Ashley and Kathy's auction. And Kathy, whenever she gets so much together, she only charges you $5 if you wait till she sends a whole big box. So anyway, I waited, and it came this week. But I got another one on order from Ashley, and it's supposed to be in this weekend. So I said, I'll just pick it up this weekend.
So you got a big box from Kathy. Is that what you're saying?
No, I got one from Kathy, and I'm getting one from Ashley.
Big box?
No, one. When she gets a bunch of people that orders it, she just share the.
Is shipping. He not picking up on it? I think that was. I
know. Alan is losing his shit up there. If you can't see this, Alan is great. As soon as I said it the first time, Alan starts laughing. You can see it. He starts just like,
man. It's been a long week, trust me. It's been a long, hot week at work.
Yeah, your arm looked tired.
Yeah, I'm beat. Boom. So, who else has got anything new? Bill, you got anything new this week? Or Peter?
I do. I have something new, but Peter, go ahead, man. What do you got?
Yeah.
Well, and I got a little rant, too.
I have not bought anything new this week, which is unusual because I've been buying a lot of stuff lately. But I was very, very, very excited today. I got an email that all the Ghost merchandise I ordered a million years ago is finally on its way to me. So I guess that's something new for the week.
If it only arrives,
really,
right?
I haven't really listened to them enough to get into them yet. I like a couple of their songs, but I haven't really. I know I've seen your posts and you really.
Yeah, listen to the last album start to finish. It's a whole story and it's got elements of classical. It's really good, but listen to it start to finish.
Okay. Yeah, I'll do that. I'll take a look at it.
With some Cheap Trick and a little bit of the Tubes thrown in there.
Yes. Gosh, you're smart, Bill. Or are you just pandering to the guests?
I am pandering to the guest. I truly am pandering. Actually, we're going to talk about Cheap Trick a little bit, I think.
Yeah.
So,
anyway.
So,
Billy.
Let's see. I did get, you guys are going to kill me. I'm going to be in trouble for this. I'm telling you, I'm going to be in trouble.
He either bought a New England album or the Elder.
Grossly
overpaid.
No. I got Vinnie Vincent Invasion.
Eek.
Gotta have it, though.
That is a great album.
It's a great record.
Was it free?
It was $10. And it's in really, really good shape. Okay, it's even got the Hype sticker on it. It's got the Tower Records sticker on it, which is really kind of cool nowadays because Tower Records doesn't exist anymore.
And the second one are actually relatively hard to find in good shape.
Yeah, and the record's in really good shape. And You know, you got this great picture of Vignette.
She is so pretty.
Yeah, and poor Bobby Rock. Just, you know, Bobby Rock's like, I'm the dude, and just
no
you know,
shit. Yeah.
He's like, yep, sorry, you get hooked up with the wrong dude there. Anyway, yeah, I picked that up. I haven't listened to it yet because I've been listening to some other stuff, but I've got a little stereo issue yet again. So I've got,
what happened this time?
I think the left channel has went out of the and the speaker thing.
So what happens? You play everything on 11, you know.
I know. That's a problem. That's a problem. But my rant is about buying records. So our buddy Brian Harris, you guys know Brian, he sent a message to me saying, hey, Universal Music Group, you know, they're a small, you know, nobody is on Universal Music, right? That's like one of the biggest freaking platforms there is, right? Is having a 25% off sale over the 4th of July. All the records 25% off. Some of them are even more. So I'm like, whatever. I'm at somebody's house. I'm just bored. So I'm thumbing through there. I find like four records. I'm like, well, this isn't a bad deal. I get four records for like $70. You know, brand new records, 180 gram, nice stuff. So I'm like, sure. That's really a pretty good deal. No big deal. That was on July 5th. And y'all look down at your little clock, calendars on your thing there. And I have not got one thing that says it's shipped. Not one thing that's not, no, I've got a tracking number that doesn't work and doesn't go anywhere.
Right.
And then our buddy Corey Nallen yesterday posted that he's had an issue with buying stuff from Universal Music Group and some hate messages on his thing. So I just added mine to it. Right. Then I sent an email to Universal Music Group yesterday and I got a blanket response back that, you know,
sure,
thanks for your message. Don't send more than one because we're not going to even read this one. So we're not going to read that one too. And well, that's what it said anyway. And then, you know, it's just going to take longer for us to get back to you. So just basically what it said was, wait,
thank you for your money.
And thank you for the money because we've already taken it out of your PayPal account. So suck it, buddy.
Yeah,
anyway, so
they're using your money to make money right now.
Yeah. So it just pissed me off. It's like, you know, it says it's supposed to ship on July 8th. Okay.
Well, that and they're running around in a damn UPS truck. And by the time you get it,
2021. So,
well, and the problem is by the time you get the son of a bitch, it's rode around in a truck for 30 days and you get it, it's creased and bent. And
I'm going to be mad then.
Looks like shit. UPS has been horrible. And the U.S. Postal Service, both have been really bad with records lately.
I've not had any issues with anything I've ordered at all. So I'm not
complaining. Me neither. Never.
Nothing. So I've seen people that have had pictures, but I've not had any issues.
My Dress to Kill got creased a little bit whenever
it came. But the fact that it's, you know, it isn't like I didn't order it from like Bob. Right. I mean, I ordered it from a
guy. May have been Bob.
You know, a major Kathy. Music retailer. So I would have thought that, you know, it would have like been a little bit better than that. So it was it was kind of funny seeing Corey post that, and then and like, I got the same damn problem.
There you go.
So that's kind of sucks.
Yeah, I think
that's my little rant.
My Ghost stuff was on back order for like 2 months.
Jeez.
Well, I ordered a Kiss record. I ordered the, I found this Target had this unique Kiss live recording thing that, I'd never seen before. And I ordered it from Target and it took 2 months. And
I could never get it. Remember?
Yeah. And I don't know if they just didn't make many of them or what, but that was a long time. And I was like, I don't think I'm ever getting this, but I get an email every now and then that says, oh, it's going to ship this date. And then it'd move it out 3 weeks and it's going to ship on that date. And I'm like, well, you know, it's $15 bucks. If I get it, I get it. If I don't, I don't. If I don't like it, I'm just take it back anyway. It's from Target. But, you know, it's kind of cool. It's just some live versions of stuff that I didn't know. And actually, Metallica has one out just like it. And the record shop that I go to up in Franklin, Indiana, he has the copy of the Metallica one. And I've almost picked it up a couple times. But he owns a record. I mean, the guy is running a record shop and he has done his appropriate markup.
I've never even heard of that.
You know, Walmart's had that with that limited run of the Destroyer. Or things keep popping up all the time. Every time I go to Walmart, there's another one, and there's another one, and there's another one. I guess they're just like putting it out like one at a time every week. We put one out, you know, just it's like crazy. I know. I looked and looked and looked for it. Finally, got a hold of one. I thought, oh my god, I got the last one. No, I didn't get the last one. It's they're still putting them out.
Yeah, hang on. Let me figure out what the name of that is, and I'll let you know.
That's weird. Like, does it say Target exclusive on it?
No, it doesn't. And actually, I've heard of other people that have gotten it, and it's not a Target exclusive. I don't know a picture of it though, because it's in Discogs, but I don't know if it was. I don't know if it's actually in here. Let me grab it real quick. It's right here.
Well, while Bill is grabbing that, I'll go ahead and show my little. I got a couple of gifts from one of our loyal listeners this week.
Cool.
I got a copy of the Paul Stanley book.
Okay, cool.
Backstage Pass. And this is really cool because it's really old and it's in really, really good shape. It's got a little bit of a crease on the corner.
Right.
But it's a Doobie Brothers tour book from 1976. Oh,
cool. That's awesome. Know,
that's cool.
And, that's cool.
You know, the stuff that it's got, you know, well, let me get in the right direction here.
There you go.
Oh, that is great.
Yeah, that's neat, man.
Band member. I haven't looked at it yet because I just got it yesterday when we were at band practice.
Well, cool.
He dropped it off right before band practice started. And then
that's awesome.
Dude, you're bending the pages.
It's mine. I'll cut them up. Make posters on the wall. And I've got a friend that I can't wait to show this to because he is as big a fan of the Doobies as I am of Kiss. So I want to show it to him. I'm like, cool. this was a gift for me, and no, you can't have it. I'm going to cut it up and put the pictures on my wall.
That's funny.
All right, here you go, Peter. This is it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
The Archives Kiss Legendary Songs from the Early Days.
Wow.
I don't know what they call the early days, but.
Have you not opened it?
Oh, yeah. It's open.
Yeah. And are they all versions you've never heard before?
It's all live versions I've never heard before.
Cool.
It just has a track listing, so it doesn't even tell. So the track listing is Shout Out Loud, Cold Gin, Strutter, Black Diamond, Calling Dr. Love, King of the Nighttime World. On side A, side B is Deuce, Tears Are Falling, Lick It Up, Talk to Me, and Is That You? Which I thought that's pretty cool. Those are the last.
Awesome.
Yeah, the last couple songs are pretty cool.
Yeah, you rarely.
I mean, you know, it's all pretty cool, but it's a little different, and it's neat, but it's LM, it's Laser Somebody is who put it out. I forget, Laser Media, I think is what it is.
Right after you showed it to
me. Oh, yeah, Laser Media.
I went on to Target and tried to get it, and it showed it, and then we put the order in, and then they come back about a week later and said, yeah, it's out of order and not coming back in. So.
Yeah, it's just black vinyl, but the actual record, I mean, the label's that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's neat. Yeah.
But
yeah.
It's not, and I know it's kind of a knockoff because it's not got the, it's not a Kiss logo.
Right.
Yeah. You know, it's a written logo, but.
That's an unauthorized recording.
It is an unauthorized recording. That is a fact, Jack. But it's still pretty cool. I don't have a lot of that stuff. I mean, some people I know buy all that unauthorized crap, and I don't do that because I never know what I'm going to get.
Yeah.
And I see these guys. Getting all these different versions of the Kiss records and shit. I don't know what. I don't. And the thing is, you know, people act. I don't want to act stupid because I'm not into that thing. But I don't know what the difference. I know, like somebody mentioned this week, they got a Rock and Roll Over with a teardrop. I don't know. I mean, I know what it is. You know, it was a little blue tear on. But why is that? What was that added? Was it added on later?
It was just an imperfection in the cyan plate in the printing process.
Oh,
not done on purpose at all. Probably just a flake of the paperboard that stuck on the blanket and transferred some blue ink to the. It was not purposeful at all. It's a print defect.
Gotcha. Okay. You know, I see this all the time. People are like, oh, I can't believe I finally found.
Argentina version of Unmasked. But the cover is all Spanish. I don't understand exactly. I have no idea what it says.
I've got two copies of Double Vision, Foreigner, and you could tell one of the plates or one of the inks was running low because it looks different than the other one.
Are you sure you actually have two or do you have Double Vision? But anyway.
It's more like colorblind. But it is, I mean, they are. They're different. And I don't know. I mean, it's just kind of weird.
I bought used like for $3 a version of Kiss, the first Kiss album, because it wasn't on white SBS board. It was on a recycled board. And it was a Mexican version. It had Nothing to Lose was live.
Oh, cool. Yeah. See, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's very cool. The only thing, other thing I have is I have my, this is my original.
Right.
AC/DC. This is my original AC/DC album.
Yeah.
Becky Black album. I noticed this earlier. I know we're getting back, you know, think of it. The run list on here,
right,
and the run list on Apple is different.
Well, is it like my Van Halen?
A lot of the album covers weren't the actual, like you guys were talking about last week.
Right.
Actually, maybe they were, it was the album cover was in print first before it was sequenced because they're running behind on a deadline. And maybe the print, you know, the printing was 8 weeks out, but the, you know, all the.
But it's the same on the label.
Yeah.
That's odd.
But it's not the same. So I wonder which one's right.
You ever pick up that album cover and look at it and go, how much more black can it get? And the answer is none.
You know, when when the Metallica album, Black Album, first came out, I was like, they reissued the AC/DC album. I mean, that was the first thing I thought of because it's. But this actually has white in it, you know.
Yeah, and it's a got embossed logo.
Yeah, right. But this is
I got some tears. Copy of it, but it's not. It was. I got it in that when I bought that stereo and it had a bunch of extra records in it, so it's not the best copy. I need to probably.
Mine's in good shape. Why I don't have my copy anymore when we get to it.
Cool.
Oops.
All right. Oh, shit. What did I just do? I just fucked up my iPad. God damn it. Hold on.
When you put these things in their little, in those little plastic cases, they tend to run. They like, hold on. They slide off each other and it's like, stop. Yeah,
hold on.
Don't go anywhere.
Hold on. There we go. Got it back now. All right. You ready to start talking about some?
Oh, wait. We were going to talk about 4 years
ago.
Yeah.
We can't do that. Go ahead, Alan. You want, or Bill, you guys. I just
4 years ago today,
yes,
the three of us took our lovely lady friends,
mm-hmm,
our wives.
Don't tell our wives.
In case anybody's wondering, our wives. We ventured to Cincinnati, Ohio, and set in the sweltering heat for Joan Jett, Cheap Trick, and Heart.
Yes.
Great show.
Man, all I'm gonna say about that is the best part of the whole day was the carrot cake at that restaurant.
Ooh,
good. Yeah, it was good. Yeah. The
a lot of booze at the concert too.
It was
that was the only.
In my opinion, Joan Jett was horrible.
Yes, I agree.
I didn't like her when I saw that tour either.
Cheap Trick should have headlined.
Cheap Trick
without question.
They didn't play nearly long enough.
No. And no. Heart was just, well, we lost half the sound.
Yeah.
Part of the way through the show. Just lost half the stage. No sound at all coming.
What's that place called? River Bend, River View?
River Bend.
It's the shittiest fucking place I've ever seen a concert in my life. It's terrible.
Well, it's definitely not the shittiest place I've ever seen one.
Wow, it's pretty bad. That faux-looking grass, concrete shit you sit on.
It has indoor-outdoor grass out in the lawn.
And you sit on that shit. It's like sitting on bricks. It's just horrible. And like I said, it was just hotter than fire out there.
It was bad.
And then we got there while we went to eat, and we were running late. And we were trying to get our food real quick. And then the traffic is lined up. We barely made it in time, you know, for the show to start. And, it was just a
I saw that show in Darien Lake here by me in New York, and I thought I got up closer after Cheap Trick. A buddy brought me up kind of like almost up to the side of the stage for Heart, and I know at that point, I don't know the date of the Darien Lake show, but they were starting not to get along again. I thought they were very lifeless, like they didn't really interact too great. Like they're kind of going through the motions most of the show.
Kind of what we saw too. I mean, it really wasn't nothing spectacular.
It wasn't, and it wasn't just that great a show. Cheap Trick was really, really good.
Cheap Trick was good.
And I'm like, I don't know how they're
always
excited to open this show, but that's Cheap Trick. Cheap Trick's like, I don't care. We're just going to play. I don't care. First, last, second, 14th, doesn't matter. We're playing. We're going to blow your asses off. So get out of the way.
Don't you wish you were talking about you're going to a concert tonight?
I'm
dying.
Yep.
I know. It's been a long time.
I almost went to a club show Saturday night and I thought better of it. Then I didn't go. And I'm sitting here and Alex texts me and goes, hey, we didn't go to the Hairbangers Ball show. And I'm like, no, because I just didn't feel like it was the right thing to do.
Yeah.
And I literally, my phone got a text message from the Bluebird that said, two of our staff members we've been informed that two of our staff members have tested positive.
Oh, God.
And after tonight, we'll be closed for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So it's now they can reopen. When they reopen, they can only have 100 people in the venue, and they all have to be seated.
I was going to say, so was it formally general admission? And obviously, general admission is done. You're never going to see that again. So.
Yeah, well, and the general admission thing was, well, even there, they'd already, I talked to a guy that was in the opening band, and Kyle said that there were only about 100 people there.
Yeah.
Right. And people wore their mask in, and once they got in, they took their mask off because everybody was drinking. Sure. So, you know, they're not wearing a mask, you know, so.
It's just not the time to be doing that right now. Yeah. It's unfortunate, but just hold on a little longer. We'll get.
They're having a show again. Hairbangers Ball's coming back down. They're doing a show in Greenwood here at an amphitheater on Saturday night.
I see now where you get your car and then you get a space. So then you're supposed to hang out and party in your space between cars. And then the next car, you have your space on the left hand, the driver's side space.
So you have a party. So you have a party spot.
Yeah, they're doing that at a couple drive-ins here where they set up the stage and the band plays in front of the movie screen. And same thing, you get like a certain piece of real estate for your vehicle and for your friends and you know, kind of stay in your bubble.
Yeah, they've had three shows at our outdoor venue, our big outdoor venue in Indianapolis. They've had three shows so far, and they've done that. They had
a Yacht Rock thing that one night.
Yeah, Yacht Rock one night. They've had Brad Paisley and John Party or something like that. And then I think somebody else was the third group. I don't remember, but they've had three different shows, but it's the same thing. You get a spot, you get a party spot, and then you get a blank spot. And then, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not paying $100 to go watch somebody on a screen though. I'm not doing that. That is not going to happen.
No,
those people were paying $100 to go see Garth Brooks. I'm like,
yeah. That's going to be a major topic on one of our upcoming episodes. We kind of delve into that whole thing. So,
yeah. Cool. I'll look for it. All right. Let's get into it. Sorry.
All right. So we are going to talk about Back in Black real quick. Back in Black is the seventh studio album by the Australian rock band AC/DC. It was released on the 25th of July in 1980 by Atlantic Records. It's the album, the band's first album to feature vocalist Brian Johnson following the death of the previous vocalist Bon Scott. After commercial breakthrough, their 79 album Highway to Hell, they were planning a follow-up, but in February, Scott died from alcohol poisoning after binge drinking. Instead of disbanding, they decided to continue and recruited Johnson, who was previously the vocalist for Geordie. And actually, that's a video I sent you guys the other day. It's kind of odd that we were just talking about that. It's a complete different type of music. The album was composed by Johnson, Angus, and Malcolm Young, recorded over 7 weeks in the Bahamas, and it was produced by Mutt Lang, who worked on their previous album. It was mixed at Electric Ladyland Studios in New York, and the all-black cover was designed as a sign of mourning for Scott. Back in Black was an unprecedented success. It sold an estimated 50 million copies worldwide and is one of the best-selling albums in music history. And I've been reading about it. It was certified, you know, 25X platinum by the Record Industrial Association of America. Anyway, on December 9th and 19th. So, you know, this album, before we get into it, it was kind of an interesting thought. I mean, this album was a make or break album for AC/DC. Cause you know, after that, having that album, Highway to Hell was a huge success in America. You know, they were just taking off at that point in America. You know, they've been worldwide for a while in Australia, especially. And, you know, working with, you know, Lang, who was, you know, going to work on this album, and, you know, and then Bon ends up dying, you know. So this is a do or die. I mean, not to say it that way, but this album was do or die. I mean, it's either going to be a huge success or it's going to be a failure, and they turned it into a major success. My theory or my thoughts on this, and just curious before we get into delve into the actual song list, you know, this, if you look back at Highway to Hell, it was written by basically Angus, Malcolm Young, and Bon Scott. Bon Scott did a lot of the lyrics. Well, you know, when it came to this, same deal, but then Johnson wrote the lyrics to a lot of the stuff. What do you think back? I mean, I know it wouldn't have been called Back in Black, but do you think if Bon Scott wouldn't have died that night and they would have made this album, do you think it would have been as big?
No.
Or you think it's just because of the difference?
It would have been a completely different album.
I don't think they would have made this album.
because
I think they had most of these lyrics. Good portion of these songs in the can already. They're already written and rehearsed. So, but no, I don't think it would have been as big as it was. Right. I think there was a little bit of the, you know, the whole what are they going to give us after the last album when their lead singer and front man is dead. And I think there was a lot of I think a lot of people bought this album maybe even without hearing a tune, just for curiosity to see what the lead singer sounded like.
Yeah. Well, I wonder how many people, like for me, this was my introduction to AC/DC. I really had not heard, anything before this. So this was the first album for me. And I was like, I'm sold. And the ironic thing about this is that's a band I've never seen live. Well, it has never worked.
Still have never seen them?
It has never worked. Wow. And I am going. I don't
care. It's on the...
If they come, if we get back this all shit all fixed and they come somewhere close, I am going.
Even if Axl Rose is singing with
them? No. Not going for that.
You know how Fonzie used to say, Fonzie was never rrr. He was never rrr. My whole AC/DC thing was... I had seen them open up for Aerosmith on the Draw the Line tour. So that was Bon Scott. That was the Power Rage tour. Wow. Didn't know a darn thing about them. Had never heard them. Honestly, too, I was really young. It was one of the first concerts I ever went to. I was still in grade school. And I didn't really even pay attention. I wanted to, you know, to see who, you know, wanted to hear Aerosmith because I was already an Aerosmith fan. And I don't know what it was about 1980 when this came out. I had become kind of a singer snob. Like if you didn't have this amazing range, you know, I thought, oh my God, this stinks. And I'd hear the drums. I'm like, oh my God, anybody can play that. These guys aren't any good. And when this album came out, everybody on the planet bought it except me. And I've spent years saying how I thought AC/DC sucked. And I didn't really even get into AC/DC till after I graduated college. I went back and, you know, started listening to this. I'm like, okay, wow, that's really good. This is really good. And just kind of got it at that point. Because at that point, I kind of got over my music snobbery and, you know, appreciated that sometimes simple is good. And maybe this isn't really that simple, which I want to talk about when we get into it. So sure. I kind of, you know, got in much later in life and now think this obviously is one of the best rock and roll albums ever recorded by far.
Yeah, see, when I was a kid, or my cousin was a year older than me, he had Powerage. And I mean, we listened to that A track, I mean, over and over. We drive around in his pickup truck and listen to that. And just like, so I was into AC/DC hard, you know, before this album. Mm-hmm. Now, when this album came out, I was like, yeah, and it was like, okay, I can handle this. And then, you know, the next one was For Those About to Rock. I saw that tour in Evansville, and it was the loudest, one of the best concerts I've ever seen in my life. Had those two ginormous cannons, you know, for those up and do kaboom. I remember going home at night. My dad called, and I was like, "Dad, you're going to call me tomorrow because my ears are ringing so bad. I can't hear nothing. You know, I just can't. It's done. My ears are shot." But no, it was a great show, and. I kept with AC/DC through, I think the last one I bought was Fly on the Wall. And then that's when I just kind of, I don't know, I just kind of, it lost interest in, you know, I lost interest in it. I still go back and listen to the old recordings. And I had put this one away for a long time just for the fact of, you know, I got so burnt out on hearing Back in Black and You Shook Me All Night Long. I was just, you know, being that I was playing music, you know, starting in, you know, we were playing out in 83, you know, we played those songs over and over and over, you know, and it was to the point I just, and then they played them to death, you know, so I would hear those songs and I would just shut it off, you know, turned it to a different channel. But it's been a long time since I listened to these songs, and I gave it a good listen to actually yesterday and today, and made it through.
I literally burned out on this album because my original copy that I got years later and it used though, I ended up got talked into putting it into the trash and burning it because it was devil's music. I went through a little phase of that.
Oh.
So thank God.
Oh my God. Wow.
Yeah, it was a weird period of my life, but yeah. Now I wish I had the all those albums back. That's for sure. Yeah, no,
you know what's funny is when I got the Back in Black album, there was some special going on where you got Back in Black and Dirty Deeds at the same time.
Oh, yeah, because they reissued it around that time.
Yeah, and what was because Dirty Deeds was not had not been released in America,
right? Yeah,
but since Highway to Hell did so well, yeah. and Back in Black was doing well, they reissued Dirty Deeds and then made some kind of package deal.
Yeah.
But when I got that, I was very young, you know, 11, 12, 13, something like that. I had no idea that that was two different singers, you know.
Wow. And,
you know, as an adult, I can see how could you possibly miss that? Oh, you know, easy. Back then it was like, this is just good music.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know.
And actually, this you know, this album I showed you is mine. It actually, when I flipped this over a second ago, I noticed this is manufactured by Columbia House under license. So there you go. I probably got this and 13 other records for $9.95.
Yeah. Yeah. 1 penny. Oh, yeah, 1 penny, and then you pay $55 for it. Yeah, no.
The good part is I think out of all of those, this is the only one I still have.
Yeah, I don't have any. I used to, but I got into that when the CD when it was CDs, so I never did it with records.
I did it with tapes. I did it with CDs. I did it with albums. I did it with my mom's name, my name, my dad's name.
I did it with reel to reel. All
right. I didn't do reel to reel. I didn't do that.
But, all right, so we want to go through here track by track.
Sure.
All right, so we're going to start out with the song, first song, 5 minutes and 10 seconds, Little Hell's Bells. Guy, what do you think, Bill?
Great opener. You know, that's my theory is I'm an opener guy. And I'm going to tell you, when I hadn't listened to this for a while, when I saw that, you know, that's what Peter picked, I was extremely excited because, A, it was going to give me a reason to go back and listen to this. I have listened to this freaking record about 12 times.
Great every time, too, right?
And I'm like, I have not skipped one. And I've turned it off when I got out of the car to make sure it got turned off so I could turn it back on when I got in, out of my phone and stuff like that. I just love this entire record, everything about it. Good. To your point, one of the greatest records. I really believe that.
All right. So, Peter.
So
circle, my circle.
Here. Again, so put yourself back in the time where this was coming out, a lot of uncertainty in the AC/DC world. I mean, like you've mentioned, Highway to Hell was amazing. They're really starting to break through in the States. You know, they had Mutt Lange at the helm, you know, and then their singer goes and dies. And, you know, at the point where this could have gone either way. And man, this couldn't have worked out any better for them. It's like, you know, you put this thing on, Hell's Bell starts out, you know, it's not a fast tune right out of the gates, but it's like the mix, the production, the heavy, the subject matter is like, holy cow. Okay, listen, nothing to worry about. We're fine. Check this guy out. And here we go. First track, amazing.
Alan? You know, you hear those bells and you know you're either going to hear Hell's Bells or a Metallica song. You know? Yeah. But, you know, much to what Peter said, you know, when you hear those bells chime, it's kind of like the old era is over and yes. We're paying our respects and we're going to kick in the balls.
Right.
Yeah.
So do you really think that that was the thinking about the bells? Do you think they put that much thought into it? Or do you think
it was definitely some sort of homage and like a funeral bell? I think absolutely.
I would say if they didn't think about it, Mutt did.
Yeah.
Because Mutt is a fantastic producer. Yeah,
he's very, everything's oriented. I mean, he's like a stickler for everything. Actually, I was reading about it today. They said that the bell, they were trying all these different bells to record them to try to get it, and they needed to be a certain tune, it'd be tuned and so they actually had to, they built this bell out of it from a foundry. The foundry finally got it fixed or got it made. And they used that bell for the recording. They actually made
in the day when you had unlimited recording budgets. If AC wanted to get a bell made, guess what? Atlantic Records made them a bell.
Yeah, exactly. Now you'd be getting one off of a sample copy of something.
Yeah, you get a sample copy of that bell. Or
Amazon Prime. It's already been recorded. I'm like you. I think this is, you know, I hadn't listened to this album in years. And, when I put it on the other day, I did listen to it with headphones on because I was at work and I was like, I'm going to start listening to this. And And like I said, that first ding, you know, it's like, I almost got like a little bit of a chill. I was like, okay, you know, here we go. And like you said, it isn't, you know, it don't come out of the gate. It comes out of the gate slow. But like you said, it's there like a sledgehammer. And like all these songs, the guitars are recorded very well. The drums are, you know, the sound, you know, it's just, you know, Mutt was, you know, he's known for that. You know,
what's amazing though is like it's very straight ahead, and there's not, you know, it's not, there's not, the vocals aren't really wet, everything seems sure. a little dry, but it's still, there's something about what when Mutt Lange puts it all together. I mean, what is pretty simple sounding rock just sounds mammoth. I mean, it's just, it's fantastic.
Yeah, no, he does well. All right, what did you go say something, Bill?
Yeah, is today the actual anniversary? The 40th anniversary, is it didn't it come out today?
Let's see.
Did I read
released,
that somewhere?
It was it was released
the 25th.
Oh, 25th of July.
Oh, the 25th. So it'll be that's Saturday.
Oh, Saturday. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it'll be coming out this. It's this.
Oh, week, I kept thinking it was today. I saw a thing.
No, it said the 25th of July, and release in UK was followed on July 31st, and then August 11th in Australia. But
Wow. Okay.
So anyway,
well, I had a feeling close. The release date was pretty close because there's like three other podcasts sold on this album this week.
It's popping.
And that's
up
what I think. That's what made me. That's what made me think about it, because I saw that and I was like, I wonder if it's actually today, because I thought it was. I thought it was pretty close.
Yeah, there's all also right, cool. like Blabbermouth and Krang and all those.
Cool.
All right, so they go back to back with the number two song, "Shoot the Thrill," Bill.
I don't know. I mean, it's just,
this
was
whole
just,
album
for
has
me,
Bill
was,
speechless people.
It does. I'm telling it you, because it just, it's one of the few records that I have that I like every single song, and there's not one. It's difficult, but I think the ending of Hell's Bells and the beginning of that song just are perfect. The sequencing of this record to me is just magic. I mean, it really is. I just tickled pink, man. Peter, yeah, love you, dude. Thanks for picking this.
That first song, me and Bill are sitting next to each other in the roller coaster going up, 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 up. You're at the top. And then, okay, now we're going to go back to AC/DC songs about girls, you know, double entendre. We're going to hit, you know, we're going to get the crest of the roller coaster, and we're on our way down now, and this is just all out party fun. We've mourned, now let's have fun again. And the, you know what amazed me, Tommy, you, Dennis and Alan being in bands and whatnot, everybody always thinks AC/DC is really easy to play, but I'm going to tell you something. I've seen a million bar bands play it too fast, too slow, not on the beat. That Phil Rudd, I don't care if it's simple timing. There's something about his playing. There's something how he might just be a little ahead, little behind, that push and pull with Angus and with Malcolm. It, you very rarely see somebody do it right. I'm sorry.
Well, you know, go ahead, Alan.
I mean, the same thing can be said about Cliff Williams, you know, because,
Yeah.
I mean, those are, for the most part, simple bass lines, but you got to be on it.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, he's probably with Phil right there. He's pushed a little ahead, or he's fell a little behind. But, you know, what seems simple is not always the case. Sometimes I would rather have a bass line that keeps my hand busy.
Right. AC/DC has always been about
to think about whether I'm going to mess up or not. But for this song, you know, you've got lyrics, shoot to thrill, play to kill, too many women, too many pills. Let's party.
Rock and roll. Let's
party, man. This is a party band. This is a party on the road band. Can I be your roadie, Angus?
No, it's like you said, it's just a 1-2 punch. You know, like I said, that first one comes out of the gate a little slow, but it's heavy. This one here, just like you said, it once it gets going, then it's gone. I do like this song a lot. It's another 5 minutes. These first two songs are both five. One's 5:10, one's 5:17, which are fairly, you know, that's long for a
for apparently a while. They didn't get the memo from Van Halen.
Yeah, oh, I'm just sure I say Ted Templeman didn't do this record. Yeah. So it's they're longer than 3 minutes.
But talking about what Peter and Alan both said just now, the thing is looking at the guitar perspective of playing AC/DC, you know, Angus, you know, he plays, you know, he's a great lead guitar player, but he plays rhythm too. And then Malcolm, he's just a amazing rhythm player.
He's the engine.
But they're not playing the same thing. They're always playing something. You know, Malcolm's doing something over here. Angus is doing something over here. And I've noticed bands, when they when I've heard AC/DC played, I've heard it played wrong a million times. It sounds close, but it's not together, because what they're doing is they're taking a look, they're hearing what Angus is doing, then they're hearing what Malcolm's doing, and they're trying to do it by the, you know, one dude's playing it, and it's just not, you're getting it, but you're not getting it. If you sit there with the earphones, especially with the earphones on, listen to that. I mean, just listen to one side, you can hear Malcolm's over here just fucking jamming away, and then, you know, Angus is over here doing it, but they're not playing the same thing, but it fits, you know.
Yeah.
What I'm saying? And like I said, that's why it makes it hard. And like I said, I've heard, you know, especially Shook Me All Night Long or even Back in Black, I've heard that played wrong, you know, every time, almost every time I've ever heard it played.
I've probably been in bands who played it wrong every time.
It always sounds good. You know what I'm saying? It always sounds good.
The thing about that is the drunk people in the bar
don't care.
They don't give a shit.
You just hit those first few notes and they don't care.
Those riffs. They know exactly. Those magic riffs.
They don't care.
Yeah,
but there's a lot of stuff underlying those riffs that you gotta, if you really listen to it, there's like, man, there's a lot going on there. Like I said, it's not as simple as you think it is.
Yeah.
So yeah. Hats off to those guys. All right, number three, what do you do for money, honey? Now this is only 3 minutes and 33 seconds. They're back to the Van Halen.
Okay, so if I had to pick probably my least, not least favorite song, but you know, if you're going to rank the songs number, and we didn't do that, this is probably not the top of the list for me. I like this song. I mean, I like the whole record, but this is not my favorite song on the record, but okay. I like the lyrics.
Man. It's good.
What do you do for money, honey? How do you get your licks? I just love it. I think this just keeps it going. It keeps the party going. I love the little breakdown. Again, it's just, you feel stomping on the bass drum, but I love the lead into the solo. I love it. Again, it's the typical, you know, misogynistic lyrics that you could never put on a record nowadays, for sure. But that's all part of the, you know, AC/DC at this point with like Highway to Hell, they're kind of getting in that mode of, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And right. If it's great, yep, don't fix it.
Yep.
Alan.
Well, for me, this song is kind of not really a reworking, but it reminds me of the song Can I Sit Next to You, Girl, which was an earlier AC/DC song.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
A bit. I can hear that.
Like Bill, it's not one of my favorite songs on there, but all the songs on the album are my favorite songs. So
you know. You got to pick one, right? You got to number them. That's not, you know, number one.
Well, I have to look at the – I have to wait till the end to decide which one's my best, my favorite. I have to see what y'all think, then form my opinion appropriately, because I'm running for office. No kidding.
Yeah.
All right. This is where this side of the record starts going really south for me. I mean, it's not bad, but I could almost listen to those first two songs and flip at this point. Now, the last song, I like the last song, but the next two are just – I'd hit the switch on them. They're not bad songs.
A flick of the switch?
No. But
that's a couple years later.
Yeah, I mean, they're great tongue in cheek songs. You know, they got that, like I said, a double entendre kind of thing.
Most of this album is tongue in cheek,
right? But I don't know. It's just, I don't know. They just don't do anything for me. I mean, they're just, that's just my, you know, I'm going to be Bill this week.
Well, I was good. I felt bad last week.
But don't worry, I want to be. But it's like I said, it's better than anything Joan Jett has ever recorded. How's that?
I disagree.
Just because
I like some June Jet stuff.
Just because you mentioned last week, which that was a great episode. Just a couple observations, fella. Bill, you're off your rocker. Number one. And number two, you guys were trying to think of a Nicolette Larson song, and I'm listening. I'm singing. So now I'm going to serenade Alan. It's gonna take a lot of love.
There you go.
The way things are. I'm singing and you guys can't come up with a title. I'm like, come on, lot of love.
Well, I had the Wikipedia article and it had her name right there. And as soon as I clicked it, I'm like, that's the song.
And she was smoking in the day. A little cutie, yep. That's for sure.
Yep, for sure, for sure.
All right, Bill, giving the dog a bone.
I remember when I heard this song for the first time in my bedroom. I remember wearing my skin tight Levi's because it was in the early 80s and they were just, and I was skinny as shit. And I remember hearing that song and I was like, that is badass. Yeah.
Yeah. What did it have to do with you having tight jeans on?
I'm 14 years old. I'm listening to that song and I'm like, yeah.
Come on, Rover, get over here.
He's listening to the song, but he's not telling you what he's looking at the time.
I was looking at the Farrah Fawcett poster on my wall. That's exactly what I was looking at.
And Bo Derek myself. That's funny.
Bill's I'm red as a ghost. I'm red as a hot man.
I feel like I was a hot flash. But
hold on, I got a towel off. Hold on.
Can you follow that?
No, I think too. I love, again, talk just the bordering on cheesy lyrics that are just so cool. And I'm almost certain now, guys, this isn't about like giving a milk bone to Fido, right? This is
no, I don't think so.
Okay, good. I was just checking. But, yeah, no. Man, that those just those open and then it, when the snare drum comes in, I'm like, oh my god, these guys can't do any wrong on this album.
Well,
I got the album when I was 11 or 12, and you know, it took a few more years before I understood what giving the dog a bone was really about.
He's like, I give the dog a bone every day. What the hell's wrong? Even some peanut butter on my wiener.
And
holy macaroni!
You are from Kentucky. I just
edit that out.
Wow. Oh my! Next week, Dennis will not be on the show.
I won't get my Zoom invitation.
No Zoom for you. 1 year.
So you're going to have the official apology where Dennis comes out and apologizes to all dogs everywhere.
That's right. He has to apologize to Skippy and Peter Pan too.
Jeff.
Man.
Jeff.
No, but
that ain't right.
I like this song a little bit more than I like the song previous on the album.
Okay. For me, it's just another, these two, like I said, these two songs are back to back. I mean, they're great guitar riffs. It's just, I don't know, if for some reason it just don't hit it for me. You know, I'm a cat guy. No. That's a joke. All right.
The sandpaper tongue.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
So anyway, we're going to number five, the last song on the first side. Let Me Put My Love Into You, Babe.
What a great ballad.
No double entendre there.
There is just it's flat out.
Now, at 11 years old, I did pick up on that one. Pretty
if, if you didn't understand what I meant by the last two songs, we're just going to write it out for
you
right here.
We're going to write to the point. not wasting any time.
Yeah, no kidding. So, yeah. All right, Bill, what do you think about this song?
What a great ballad.
How sensitive.
For this record, I mean, I thought it was very sensitive. Ride, I mean, I was enamored with the, you know, vocal prowess and the, you know, just the way it made you feel when you listened to it, and the words were just magic.
And your tight jeans.
Yeah, you tight jeans. Oh, Farrah.
I guess it's better O'Farrah than O'Ferret.
Yeah, no.
Well, the funny thing was, my room, I don't know if Dennis, I don't know if you were ever at the house or not on Indiana Street, but my room is upstairs.
Yeah. Well, I'd never.
So I had the upstairs. So I had the ceilings were slanted.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would say that was a 2-story house.
Yeah.
We went over at time and watched Kiss on your TV.
That was probably my dad's. That probably wasn't my dad's.
Over by Robert Stadium.
Yeah, near there. Yeah.
Yeah, I was there.
Yeah, it was a two-story house.
Yeah.
Anyway, it seemed
like so Farrah was actually really kind of looking at you.
So Gene was on the back of the wall like that, above my headboard, right, you know, like where my headboard is. Yeah. And but Farrah was at an angle, staring right at me.
Farrah got to see his old face.
Oh, yeah. Oh, poster had these weird stains all over. I don't know
probably then, back then.
It's like, just don't turn on the black light, man. It's like, I didn't know that was a glow. I didn't know that was a glow in a dark poster. It's got all the constellations on it. Look, there's Orion.
It does.
No,
it's big difference. It's like wax. It was like wax. It's that splatter.
Bill. This is going bad quick.
It's not constellations. It's constellations.
The big difference.
All right, where were we? Who's up?
Peter, save us, man.
I love into you again. Like I echo Bill's sentiments. I know, what a touching, thoughtful song. I mean, you know, with a lyric like "Let me cut your cake with my knife." I mean, beautiful. It's beautiful.
Over Gene and over
Simmons
again.
Could take some lyric writing lessons from Brian Johnson.
There you go.
Well, if he told you once, he told you twice. You better listen to his advice. So this, again, they're all good on here, but this would be not a skipper for me, but this would be my least favorite track. I could do without, even though it's a good tune.
Gene couldn't have wrote this in 1980 because he's too busy trying to figure out how to write an Odyssey and some other bullshit stuff, right?
The 1980s when Unmasked come out.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He's writing "You're So European."
Oh, yeah, there you go. Yeah.
He's got some weird fetishes, you know?
Yeah. Brass beds and shit. Okay.
Hey, European on me, but anyway.
I just keep this right in the gutter.
All right.
I can't wait for Bill Elam to write this show. Write this review of the show. They're the best. We got to forward it to him before we put it up.
The bodily fluid episode.
Except for it's going up as soon as I'm done recording.
Yeah.
Really, I don't think I have anything to add to this.
You're going to go there.
And if I do, fan turned on in here.
It might be five more minutes of dick jokes.
All right. For me, this song actually brought it back for me for the second time. No, and you know the reason is the guitar work in it. I like that. I like the guitar rhythm in this.
It's tasty.
And then it is. And then whenever it goes into, and then whenever it
tasty goes, licks.
Yeah. And then it, you know, like I said, whenever it goes into the lead, it you know, that's when it kind of changes up a little bit. And that's a good lead on there. I just, you know. So it does bring it back for me on this other side. If it wouldn't be for this song, that after "Shoot the Thrill," I'd be flipping. You know, it wouldn't be nothing to flip this thing.
Mm.
All right. So speaking of flipping, we're going to flip this dude, and we're going to go to the title track, which is odd. They put it on the second side. But I think that was a smart move to
do. Well, Kiss did the same thing with Love Gun.
I know. But I still think that's a good deal because Hell's Bells with that intro had to be the first song on the album anyway. I think it brought it, like you said, it tells a story. But anyway, second side, we're just going to come out blazing. No playing around that first song, and it's Back in Black.
Yeah, so, they did the, okay, so we're going to put a little ballad on the other side.
Right.
And then we're going to smack you right in the face. So here we go. Yep. And that's, I mean... Okay, that's the epitome, one of the epitomes of all rock songs ever made. And it will stand the test of time forever. And you can go into any venue, anywhere in the world, and they start the very beginning of that song, and people just go batshit crazy. Yeah. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's funny because, like we're all huge Kiss fans, but I could literally go my whole life and never hear Rock and Roll All Night Again. But there's certain songs that... You know, this should be in that category, but I can't put it in there because every time if it came on the radio, I don't turn it. I don't skip it. And we've all probably heard it a gazillion times. It don't matter. It's a great rock and roll song.
Right. Yeah. Agreed. 100%.
Yeah. With that hi-hat click and that little guitar.
Yeah.
You hear it, it's like, oh, my God.
Yep.
Well, I mean, it tells, I mean, it kind of tells a great story too, you know, forget the hearse cause I'll never die, which it always kind of struck me that they referenced the hearse
when like they the basically band's not going to die.
We're going to just buried somebody that did die.
Right.
Yeah. I like that song just because it punched you right in the balls.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did for a while. This became one of those songs. It was my rock and roll night for a long time, actually.
Definitely.
Like I said, after playing it for so many years and listening to it and everything, sometimes you just got to take a break from shit. I mean, sometimes you got to put it away. And that's what I did this whole album. This is not my album that I would pull out. I always pulled Power Rage out. I'd pull For Those About to Rock. I'd pull Highway to Hell. But Back in Black's nothing I ever pulled out. You know. But listening to it today, I've got through it a couple times, you know, listening to it. I don't feel the need to turn the volume down or to hit the skip button again. So it's kind of come back a little bit for me. And it is a great, I mean, it's a fucking great, it's a great song. It's a well written, the guitar lick is, you know, it is one of those guitar licks that is going to be, you know, it'll go down in history as of, you know, everybody knows it. I mean, I don't give a shit who you are. You know that song. You know that riff.
One of the most recognizable riffs ever.
Yeah. Exactly.
And like I said, you hear the first couple of notes and people just go batshit. It doesn't matter. They just...
You ever just wonder, like, so Malcolm or Angus come in, you know, that day in the studio and say, yeah, I've got a little something here. And like the first time they play it and he just goes, holy F, this is going to be fun.
It'd be interesting to know that if it
or you know, was it one of those songs where they kind of went, well, you know,
is it good enough? Yeah.
Let's just put it on the B side.
Yeah. I held it. I was just reading.
You know, I mean, you don't know. I mean, let's just put it on the B side. It's a good song, but I don't know. Put it on the B side.
Yeah. How was it? With it being the title track? Nah.
Yeah. No kidding. All right. So we all been through it. Yeah. Sorry. All right. I'm shirking my duties here. All right. Number two. Coming in with another big money maker for him and a big deal for him with a stupid video.
That is the greatest video ever. What is wrong with you?
Anyway, we'll talk about it. You Shook Me All Night Long. Bill.
Classic.
It is a classic song. I'll give you that.
Fist goes in the air immediately. Just turn that shit up. I think it goes to 25 on that song. I have to go look. It's not my favorite song on the record, but no. But I love that song too.
All right,
classic,
iconic party song. Again, I don't care if I've heard it a million and two times; it's just as good the million and third time. Just awesome. I mean, there's just everything about it. It's to me, it's you know, not just plain out, I don't, you know, you can say heavy metal, it's just plain out rock and roll perfection for me. Mm-hmm. It's everything you want in a, you don't have to think about anything. I guarantee you, I defy you, if you're in a bad mood and your day has been absolute shit, you put this on, turn up that volume a little bit, instant good mood about 20 seconds in.
Yep.
For sure.
This is one of those songs that it doesn't matter if I'm playing break music when I'm doing sound for a band or if I'm DJing a wedding. I never, ever put it in the playlist, but it almost always ends up in the playlist.
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, that's got a groove that the girls love to dance to. You know, it's got some pretty good lyrics in it, you know. Yeah. She had me fighting for air, told me to come, but I was already there.
Yeah, that's, you know, very
there's clever. An entendre there. Yeah.
Not really. That was pretty much just right there.
Not when you're 11.
And I mean, songs about earthquakes are cool, you know?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. The song's, man, I'm still burned out factor on this song. Like you said, it is a great song. It's a popular song. Everybody likes it. For me, I'm just still, it needs a little more time. I think I'm just really burned out on this.
You know, some of these songs you get burned out on, and I don't think you ever get over.
Maybe not.
Yeah, there's some songs. You know, it's funny because you say that, and we were, you know, I was when Peter was talking too, I was thinking about that. You know, Guns N' Roses for me is this way. Is what you're talking about.
Yeah.
If I never hear if I literally, I swear to God, if I never hear another Guns N' Roses song ever, I'm perfectly fine.
I'm not like that with every Guns N' Roses song, but
the entire catalog, catalog. I don't care if I never hear another one.
Me too.
Exactly. I mean, there are probably two songs on there that are okay, but literally, you could just fall off the planet tomorrow. I would be okay with that.
Well, I'd like to hear Slash's band do Guns N' Roses.
I would much rather hear Slash's band do it. And you know what? For me, it's about Axl Rose. I can't stand the guy.
Me either.
And I think that for me ruins the music.
Right.
I just can't. I can't stand him.
Bill, we are totally 100% in agreement.
Yeah, I just, you know, I played some of those songs, like I said, way too much, and I'm same way with that one. But this is the one
I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying.
This one I don't think you're alone by any stretch.
No, I don't either.
But this was the only song on the whole album that I couldn't get through. I mean, it really took everything I could not to skip it. But I did listen to it. But it's got a skip factor hard on it. Okay.
He said skip factor hard on.
He did.
Skip factor hard. That'd be a good name for
you.
That's
a good song. Peanut butter again. Still with the peanut butter. Skip.
There you go. Skippy. All right. Number three, Have a Drink on Me. There you go, Bill.
Everybody's had it go like this.
There you go.
Yeah. Great drinking song. Yeah. No, good is. Song. That's great song.
Yeah, it's like, hey, dudes, we're 3/4 of the way through the party, but we're still going strong. By the way, crack open a cold one and come with me to the end of the album.
Yeah, we're almost there, fellas.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it don't matter whether you want whiskey, gin, or brandy. We got a glass. It's pretty handy.
That's right. Your glass is getting showed up with some whiskey and some water.
That's right. Saturday, I kind of feel this.
No, it is a good a good party song, and I like it a lot. It is a good song. All right, well, you got two left. We're down to Shake a Leg.
Probably this might be number one or number two of my favorite songs on the record.
Oh my god!
Really?
Really?
That riff, just God. I mean, I got goosebumps right now. It's just the first time I heard that song. I remember it was like I thought. And I've listened to this song. I don't know how many times. I couldn't tell you. It's thousands, probably. I don't know. It just that song and the riff. It's awesome. It's awesome.
My favorite riff on the album, Bill. I literally just wrote a few notes with that. And his when the vocals come in and he's kind of rushed. He's running. It's like that running style of vocal delivery. Right. I love it. This one I repeat and I repeat. I've been doing a lot of bike riding. This is a great bike ride. If you want, you know, you're going up, you need some speed. Listen to this song; it'll definitely get your adrenaline going. My favorite riff on the album by far.
Yeah,
we are in a groove.
Most definitely one of my favorite albums too. I like the energy of the song, the tempo. You know, get your head bobbing. And I agree, it is a great song for bike riding, or if you're a runner, or any kind of exercise. Because
if you're putting peanut butter on extremities, it's fine.
Put peanut butter on your extremity and then run from the dog.
Peanut butter on my leg.
But I think that, you know, this is a good song to get your cardio up. So, you know.
Excellent.
Make sure that your doctor approves before you try any cardio.
Not for the faint of heart.
The faint of heart.
It isn't my favorite song on the album, but I do like that guitar riff. That is, I have to agree with you guys on that one. That is a great riff. It's just, I don't know, a song as a whole, it's not my favorite song on this side, but it's got a great riff on it. So I will say that. Riff runs with Jif. Anyway, there we go. All right, we're down to the last song, because Rock and Roll Ain't Noise Pollution, boys.
Great ending to the record. It summed it all up. And just said, just sit here.
Yeah.
There's one more coming on the way, not far down the thing. We're going to leave this here for a little while, but there's another one coming.
Yeah.
It's just a perfect ending. Exactly. Like I said, this is a great record. First track to the end.
They've just exhausted you with tracks 1 through 9. And now I almost look at this song like you just mentioned too, Bill, great closer, but it's like, okay, we literally just smack people around. Let's have fun. Let's just do a really simple little bluesy soul. It almost sounds like could have it been even impromptu in the studio.
Right.
Like just kind of making it up as it goes. Like, man, that was a freaking great hang, folks. Like you said, Bill, hey, we hope you like the new guy. There's another one coming real soon.
Right. Yeah, or with just enough to go.
The cannons.
We just want you to relax a little bit because the next one we're going to hit you right in the face again.
It's all cool. We hope you enjoyed that.
Yeah.
How many songs do you know start out with somebody lighting a cigarette?
Yeah, I love it.
That's my favorite part.
I like that slogan. And it took me a long time, you know, when I was younger to realize that's what I was hearing.
Yeah.
You know, you hear that lighter click and then you hear it.
Well, it could be a cigarette, could be something else.
Well, yeah. I didn't say what kind of cigarette.
Doobie doobie doo.
This ain't no Frank Sinatra. Yeah. But yeah, I like that slow groove of that song, and you know, just kind of mellows you back out. Of course, then as soon as this one's over, I always put on For Those About to Rock, so I just get kicked in the balls again. So. Because that's another album that I don't think there's a stinker on.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I agree.
No, I love this song. Like you said, that whole part where he's just, you know, sitting there talking through it, and then you can like sit here and light that cigarette and you can exhale, and it's just like you said, it's a lot of personality into it. Yeah. And this song reminds me of one of my favorite AC/DC songs for Bon Scott, and it was Right On goes, that does that the whole song.
Yeah,
but it brings it back, and it's kind of, I don't know if it's maybe like an ode to him, you know what I'm saying? I don't know if it's
a little homage in some way. Yeah.
If they were thinking about him whenever they did that, but you know, it doesn't stay in that tone. But when it comes, you know, when it kicks in, it's just, you know, like I said, it's heavy, but it's not fast and all that stuff. But
you know what? Rock and roll just makes good sense. What can you say?
Good sense.
But yeah, it is you know, what a way to, you know, what an opener and then what an ending. You know, I think that this, like I said, this track, the way they set this thing up and set their tracks, I think was very, very good. If it had put fucking What Do You Do for Money, Honey on the last song, I'd been pissed.
Much too smart for that.
Yeah. You know, and the more of these things we do, the more I've thought more about the sequencing of records and stuff like that, you know, because to be honest with you, in the past, I've really not thought much about sequencing of records. I just think like they find 12 songs, they put the freaking things on there and they go, let's make that be number one. And, you know, and there is a science to it. I mean, there really truly is a science to it. And we know that we've listened to some records that people don't know what the hell they're doing.
Yeah. It's half heart, half science, you know, it's half heart, half mind, you know,
but to sit down with that one, I mean, I can imagine those guys sitting in a room and this is all finished. The tracks are all done. Listen to the entire record through. They have to get up and go, we are going to melt some people's faces.
Bill, let's act it out. I'll be Malcolm. Angie, you think the folks are going to like it?
I think they're going to like it a lot.
You guys sound more like the Beatles than AC/DC.
When did Ringo come in there?
I got British. I don't have.
Hold on, let's go. We'll do it again. Hello, Paul. Do you think they're going to like it?
I think we're in trouble. These new guys are really going to hurt us.
They're never going to let us do this again on the show.
Or you could do your Brian Johnson. You could say, it's very good, me son. It's a good record, me son. That's what he always said.
Oh, speaking of Brian Johnson, if you ever get a chance, get on YouTube. There is a Hoover commercial from the late 70s.
I've seen that.
Early 80s that Brian Johnson sang.
And it was done right before this album came out.
Yeah, it was a British commercial, I believe.
You guys watch his internet interview show? It's really good.
Really good.
I keep meaning to, and I keep forgetting.
I seen the one with Dolly Parton where he's talking to Dolly Parton. That's really good.
He calls her me love.
Yeah. She goes, my husband listens to you all the time.
Dennis, doesn't he seem like the coolest down-to-earth dude?
Oh, hell yeah.
Come up to you in a bar and sit and talk to you for hours.
Yep.
He seems so cool.
No, I think he would be.
He doesn't seem pretentious at all. He doesn't have that.
Yeah.
So the million-dollar question.
Angus is the pretentious enough for all of them.
You think the million-dollar question, though, you think it's he's coming back?
He's back.
Yes. The album's
done. They're going to tour.
That's what I think. Is, yeah. The album's done. Yeah, that's what I had heard.
Yeah, and, you know, we've talked about this before, about how much do you pay for a ticket? I'm going.
Bill, this time? I saw him 78 as an opener. I'm paying whatever, and I'm getting in the first 10 rows, or I'm not going. I'm getting this will be one that I will spend big money on.
Yeah, it's gonna.
Angus, are you listening?
I have no desire to see. I had no desire to see them with Axl.
I've seen them once, and it was a great show. And like I said, it's been years. So I
what tour? What tour, Dennis? Did you mention that?
For those about to rock.
Oh yeah. That,
so it was right after this.
I couldn't go to that show. It sold out. It sold out before.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was actually. Rodney got a ticket the last minute. He had to. We did some trading. To get
peanut
this
butter,
ticket.
What, Peter peanut Pan?
No,
Peter Pan for.
we had to trade some stuff for it, but anyway, we got him a ticket, and it was great. And it was back when it was general admission, so we were on the floor about I don't know
the tallest fucking guys in Evansville get right up front.
No, we were probably I don't know, probably halfway on the floor, probably a bit center, and I remember at that one point. Angus came out first on this walk catwalk and was doing the shit and the lights and all that shit, and then later on he left and then he come back out and he was on Brian's shoulders and they were going along the side there along the bottom of the stadium and shit. It was fucking cool. I mean, it was
there's some brand like this unearthed video of them doing, I think it's
You shit me all night long in Japan.
No. It's giving the dog a bone, and it's like Brian doesn't have his normal little what do they call those little hats?
Right.
It's just this big furry do, but it's really good footage of giving a dog. Look it up. Yeah, I think it's from. It might be from the tour right after For Those About to Rock, if I'm not mistaken.
It would have been either Fly on the Wall,
Flick the Switch,
Fly on the Wall.
Which, probably. By the way. If is our latest episode on the I Love It Loudcast, the one that we just posted is actually another one of our forgotten album episodes, and we go through Flick of the Switch track by track.
Well, speaking of which, before we leave here, Peter, why don't you hype your
plug
stuff.
Plug your stuff, man.
Well, we're hopefully approaching 100 listeners sometime in the next 3 years. No, I'm kidding. And but yeah, just so I had no clue you guys were going to call me, but it was very apropos because we did just release our latest episode. It's the I Love It Loudcast with my host, Vinny Folletti. We're on iTunes, Facebook of the same name, at I Love It Loudcast, and Twitter, Podchaser, Spotify. But yeah, the latest one is, I think, the third or fourth in our Forgotten Album series, and we go through Flick of the Switch. It's kind of fun. A lot of laughs in it, too, because another one that we usually record on Sunday mornings, and this one was done on a Friday night, and it got a little nutso. So.
Alcohol was abused.
Yeah.
Well, your shows are funny, and they're very entertaining.
Good stuff.
I love you guys, too, man. I just love the camaraderie. I mean,
really
quick on each other. Love it.
Really missed everybody getting together this year in Nashville. What a bummer. You know, this year is just it's been the worst bummer year ever.
So I wanted to go back to that taco place, man. That taco place was freaking really awesome.
Good. That was good. That was
Taqueria, whatever it's called.
Yeah, Taqueria. Oh,
that was
good.
Yeah, but, it was a nice
night. Yeah, we'll do it again here sometime soon. It'll be fun. Once we get all this bullshit over with and everybody gets healthy again, we can do
hopefully stuff. We all come out healthy and
always
in good spirits. And I know you guys are jonesing for a show, but I guess, you got to be smart,
Got to wait. We've got to wait for it. So,
Peter, if we get up New York way again sometime, we'll
let me know.
Try to figure out how to meet you somewhere or something.
Yeah. I mean, it was nice as I know you got to the Scranton area before and you could catch up with the Pot of the Hell guys. That's a short ride for me, too, if we can pre-arrange.
Yeah. Yeah, we were gonna go to Niagara for.
I'm gonna say you're close to Niagara, aren't you?
I'm literally my house is 40 minutes to Niagara Falls.
Yeah, we were going to go there. Yeah. I mean, we dropped Noah off to West Point, but it was all closed. There wasn't anything open.
I was thinking about doing that because we shut down really this last week. We really hadn't had anything planned, and I thought about, that would be a good trip to go up there. But then I got to talking about, you can't go to Canadian side.
I was going to say that.
Everything else is closed. It's like going, God damn it, I'm not going
to drive all that way. You don't want to go to Niagara Falls and go to the American side. It's not worth it.
It's gotten better, but it's not half as good as the Canadian side. And you said, you can't get over there right now.
So there's no point. I'm not going to go to something like that if I can't do it. So there's that's a long drive to not do that.
Of the Mist is on the other side, so it doesn't really
on both sides, but
oh, they do. Oh,
okay. Good.
When I went before, it wasn't on both sides. It was only on.
Well, my thing was to do that, and then I was like, you know what? I'll just break down and go to the damn Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland on the way back. But so it's like, I don't want to walk through there with a fucking mask on the whole time either. Yeah. So it's like, I'm just,
I've thought about that because we're close and we're coming back. I mean, we
I'm going to break
right there at Akron.
I'm going to do something.
So we're pretty close, and I just.
Have you guys never been to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
No, I haven't pulled the trigger yet.
It's great, man. I've been 2 or 3 times. Because you guys, you would be like me. Devote some time because you're going to read every little placard and everything. But it's pretty cool.
Now, Peter, you have heard us rip on the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame 900 times.
I think our pitcher is in the as you walk in, they go, if you see these guys, make sure you let us know.
Probably true. If you've ever thought about
Steve Miller's speech that where he tells the girl, sit down and learn something.
That was great.
That was great. All right, Alan, take us out of here, bro.
Visit us on agesofrock.com. Check out our social media links and past episodes. And until next time, peace out, folks. Thanks for listening to the Ages of Rock podcast. If you haven't done so already, be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel, like us on Facebook, and most importantly, tell all your friends. Remember, you're never too old to rock. Until the next episode, peace out, folks.